Now back to the Terrace Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol.
Suing China, the new terrorists on the block. Welcome to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, a psychiatrist, and your terrorist therapist. Yes, suing China, indeed. It seems like the communist China are the new terrorists on the block. That is, if it turns out that coronavirus was actually or could be considered an agent of bioterrorism. But before I get into that, I want to talk a little bit about the old terrorists on the block, the radical Islamists, because I have been trying in recent podcasts to keep you abreast of what our old friends, the terrorists, are doing, planning to do, and so on. They are not going away. I hope that should be clear if you've been listening to some of the previous ones. And especially since, as I was mentioning before, they are the ultimate doomsday preppers. You know, they know how to hunker down and isolate and all of that in their caves and so on in the desert. So let's talk a little bit about what the new, what's new with the old terrorists. You've heard, you may have heard or not of the expression, Sutton's Law. The expression is, there was this man, once upon a time, there was this man named William Francis Sutton Jr. He lived between 1901 and 1980, and he was on the FBI 10 Most Wanted list because he was an extremely prolific bank robber, an American bank robber. And he stole from banks for 40 years. He stole approximately $2 million over those years. And during this time, since he was so prolific, he, you know, he'd get interviewed all the time. And there was a reporter who once asked him why he robbed banks. And he supposedly said, because that's where the money is. Now, this has become over the years something called Sutton's Law. And it is often told to medical students. Indeed, it was told to me many times to point out that you should go with the most likely diagnosis rather than wasting time and money investigating every conceivable possibility. So you go where the money is. Why do you rob banks? That's where the money is. Why do you look at a particular illness? That's where the money is. That's where the illness is. So, and then he denied that he said it, but then he called his biography Where the Money Was. So, sounds like he really did say it. Now, why am I telling you about a bank robber named Willie Sutton when we're supposed to be talking about terrorism, right? Well, the reason is because the current update on our old friends, the radical Islamists, has new targets. You know, where the money is now, in other words, where the people are now, the targets are now, are in different places than where they were before. You know, before there would be targets would be where there wherever there was a crowd, right? And that would be the primary target, whether that's on the street and perpetrating a ramming attack, you know, using a car or a truck or so on to ram people on the street, or putting a bomb in a concert hall like in Manchester. You know, you're trying to get the most, the biggest number of people are, of course, just like 9/11, the Twin Towers. And ideally, you're doing it not only where there's the most number of people, so that you could kill and injure the most, but also in a perfect world, according to the terrorists, also it would be something that has some significance, like, of course, the World Trade Center had significance, and the Pentagon had significance, and so on. So where are the banks, so to speak? Where are the targets now? since there are much fewer people in the streets. So terrorists are targeting different places. They are targeting grocery stores, hospitals, testing sites, gas stations. While we are under lockdown, these are some of the places where they are most likely to find the most number of people. So Homeland Security is warning Americans about these targets. I don't know about you, but you might, I don't think they're doing it very loudly. This has not been a, they have not made very much of this, but they have put out a memo or a paper of some sort, mainly telling police departments and so on that they should be aware that these are the new targets. Because like Willie Sutton said, you know, why do I rob banks? It's where the money is. So now there is no, as I'm talking right now, there are no imminent or credible threats for any of these places. But there have been, you know, I mentioned about the man who, the terrorist, the wannabe terrorist, who was planning on creating an attack, and he was going to do it a little later. And then when the lockdown came along, he decided he would attack a hospital because that's where the people were. So, and then fortunately the FBI caught him before he did that. So, so there, other than that, there have been no imminent or credible threats, but there, except that these are the places that I mentioned that are the most likely targets. And there has been an increase in online hate speech that is intended to incite violence and use the current situation as an excuse to inflict hate. So this also includes, by the way, a target is also still open houses of worship. And then other retailers where, you know, that who have been considered essential. Any place where now you would be likely to find a bigger crowd of people. Now, ISIS and Al-Qaeda have been encouraging lone wolves to see the coronavirus pandemic as an opportunity to attack when we're all paying attention, we're all distracted, you know, with that, and also an opportunity for them to win over more supporters because, you know, as I've mentioned previously, they are saying that the coronavirus was sent by Allah to attack and kill the non-believers. And so they are using this as a way to try to get more people to become terrorists, to follow them. And then Al-Qaeda put out a statement saying that non-Muslims should use their time in quarantine to learn about Islam. And ISIS put out a statement saying that its followers should show no mercy and launch terror attacks during this time of crisis. And so, you know, the Department of Homeland Security is asking us, or would like us, though, as I said, they haven't exactly made this, made a lot of announcements about it, but they are asking us to pay attention, be alert, you know, if you see something, say something, and all of that good stuff. Now, you know, there is the idea also that the weakest, you know, when animals attack a herd, it's the weakest in the herd who get attacked first. And so with coronavirus, you know, we are in a sense, I mean, not everybody, it still is a small percentage of people who have gotten coronavirus, but still, in a sense, we have become the weaker animals in their, from their point of view. You know, to strike while we're down kind of thing. So the FBI and the National Counterterrorism Center has warned of this proliferation of hate speech, and various people, you know, these haters, people are, you know, making conspiracy theories, and they are blaming the pandemic on people who they hate, you know, on minorities who they want to direct attacks to. So, for example, they are blaming it, well, and of course, one target of this chatter is China, Chinese people, but also other minorities as well. And they are saying that the pandemic is going to hasten a societal collapse and lead to a race war. At least that's what they're trying to make happen. So you should be aware that that these kinds of things are happening. And when we come back, I'll tell you some of the lovely ideas that these conspiracy theorists are trying to spread on the internet. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where we're talking today about suing China, the new terrorists on the block. And we've been talking about the old terrorists, because I don't want you to forget them, the radical Islamists, because they are apparently still spreading propaganda to try to get more people to join them. And again, using the idea that coronavirus is sent by Allah to kill the non-believers. Now, of course, there are also white supremacists who are trying to urge people to take advantage of the coronavirus by weaponizing it, by using spray bottles, items laced with coronavirus, you know, obviously assuming that somebody has coronavirus, saliva. The federal investigators have been looking at Telegram and other online tools, and this is where they're finding out this information. They're also suggesting leaving saliva on door handles, spitting on elevator buttons, and spreading germs in non-white neighborhoods. So, I mean, it is true, by the way, don't know if you haven't heard this before, you do have to be careful on things like, you know, door handles and elevator buttons. And if you carry, well, if you wear gloves or if you carry disinfectant with you, or if you use your elbow to push the elevator button, you know, then that should take care of that. So now let's get to the suing China. Okay, yes, I don't know if you've been hearing about this at all. This has been kind of quiet too, but there actually have been lawsuits already instigated against Chinese leaders, communist China, in regard to the coronavirus. Now, it is thought that either the coronavirus was an agent of bioterrorism, a bioweapon, you know, it was cooked up on purpose by China to use as a bioweapon. That's one possibility. And then the other possibility that's being investigated is that it was in a lab, and you know, where they were studying bats or other animals, and then it escaped or leaked because they had a poor safety protocol. Now, Wuhan, China, which is where the coronavirus came from, it has the only level 4 microbiology lab that's equipped to handle deadly coronaviruses. And there apparently, you know, there are doctors, there are people who were there when this happened, and they are now giving information to the people who are planning on suing and so on, to the government, to to the American government, American investigators, because there was a whole, I mean, as you probably know, and I tweeted this ages ago, when it first came out, you know, first, I'm sure you know that first they were saying it came from a bat that was sold in this market in Wuhan where they sell live animals, you know, like rare animals that are more likely to have different contaminants in them. But then it came out that there was at least one man in this laboratory who, where they were studying bats, and, you know, and now apparently the growing these diseases, and one man got bitten by a bat, and he was bleeding, and it's thought that that somehow got to the market, or they, or the market was a hoax to begin with. It really had nothing to do with the market, although there were a lot of people who, the first people who got sick were connected to the market. So somehow it is thought that the coronavirus came from this lab into the market, possibly. I mean, again, these are all things that are still being investigated. But I mean, the scary part is that it could well have been done on purpose. Because in countries, this is so interesting how this is changing the dynamics of countries around the world towards China. I mean, of course, this whole thing is so complicated because there are lots of different trade agreements with China. And so, you know, that makes it, that makes countries, of course, the United States and other countries as well, wanting to trade with China. You know, there, China's things that are manufactured in China are very cheap, relatively. And so that makes it very attractive to not only the US, but other countries as well. So countries have been slow to recognize that, in fact, China, again, communist China, when I say China, I am not talking about the Chinese people who, for the most part, you know, are being, I mean, they're not free, and they're being controlled by their government, and so I'm not implicating them, but so now there's this realization coming. It's like a big shock to everybody. Huh? Maybe China, who wants to be a bigger world power, maybe they would do something like this. I mean, in any case, why were they studying agents of bioterrorism or agents, you know, diseases that could cause disasters like what coronavirus is doing? So it's just like it's coming somewhat as a surprise. They would do that. They did it on purpose. Could they have really done it on purpose? So now, you know, what's interesting is how this sort of changes the allies, you know, who's allied with who against who or whom. Because there are a lot of countries who, well, because the whole world just about is being impacted by the coronavirus. So people are not very happy with China, needless to say. And it's just kind of waking people up, and it's making them wonder whether in fact this could have been done on purpose, or even if it wasn't done on purpose, just the fact that they weren't following good guidelines, careful guidelines in their lab, because they were trying to beat the US in terms of, you know, coming, finding these things, discovering these different illnesses and so on, because there have been reports about Americans, doctors or scientists, researchers who were in the labs who told people, you know, the World Health Organization, which of course, as I've talked about before on this show, you know, there's some, clearly they are in bed with China and not blowing the whistle on them. They didn't even call it a pandemic until much later. And that's why the US and other countries have gotten such a slow start on it. I mean, the coronavirus in China, in Wuhan, it was known in December already. And yet they let such little information come out. And they, the people in China who, like the first doctor who discovered it, who saw that the people who were having pneumonia, it was a different kind of pneumonia. And he sent, he went online and he told his classmates from medical school about this new disease. And he was like alerting them to it. And all of a sudden, you know, he disappeared. And then it turned out that he got coronavirus and he was in the hospital and he died. And so that shut him up. And then there was another man who went around taking pictures of hospitals and body bags in Wuhan, and he disappeared. So China, there's no question but that China went all out to silence people about just how bad this coronavirus was. And WHO did not, you know, went along with it, did not really, even though they were told that, I mean, it wasn't a secret, but because of some of the researchers who were there, who saw that they were, had these sloppy ways of dealing with these dangerous infections, you know, they brought it to the attention of people. And yet it was not considered a pandemic for quite a while after it first was discovered in China. I mean, not after a while after people started getting sick in China. So the current total of people who are sick with COVID right now would have been a lot less if China would have told the truth or would have let these people who, you know, were trying to get out the truth instead of silencing them. So we'll take a break now, but when we come back, I'll tell you about some of the lawsuits that are already happening against China just because of this, either because they did it on purpose as an agent of bioterrorism or because they were really sloppy and then they kept trying to hide everything so that we wouldn't know what happened. So stay tuned and I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Terrorist Therapist Show, where I'm talking today about suing China, the new terrorists on the block. So let me get to the actual lawsuits. There are a number of them. Some of them might be connected to the same case, but they seem to be growing. Let's just say that. So first of all, there are two Republican lawmakers, one in the House and one in the Senate, that who have recently introduced legislation to allow Americans to sue the Chinese government for damages from coronavirus. Now, one of them is Dan Crenshaw, a Republican from Texas. He's in the House of Representatives. And then Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas, he's in the Senate. And they are trying to get this legislation passed so that Americans can sue China in federal court by amending the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act. In other words, foreign countries are typically immune, except as it relates to the Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorism Act, which I'm not going to get into today because it's going to take too much time, but I'm sure that this is not going to go away, so I'll be talking about this topic again. So Senator Cotton said, by silencing doctors and journalists who tried to warn the world about the coronavirus, the Chinese Communist Party allowed the virus to spread quickly around the globe. Their decision to cover up the virus led to thousands of needless deaths and untold economic harm. It's only appropriate that we hold the Chinese government accountable for the damage it has caused. So this legislation is modeled after this Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorism Act. And it's the purpose of it is to provide a civil action against a foreign state for deliberate concealment or distortion of information with respect to an international public health emergency. So, you know, what do Americans do when we feel we are wronged? We sue. And that's what a lot of Americans want to do. And so there's this investigation going on in China, and particularly in Wuhan. And they are trying to put together a timeline of what the government, the Chinese government, knew when. And once all of this investigation is complete, there are various parties doing these investigations. And once that's complete, the results are going to be presented to the Trump administration. And the White House and President Trump will then determine how to hold China accountable. In the meantime, let me tell you about some lawsuits that are actually that have actually started already. Lawyers in the U.S. have launched a legal action to sue China for trillions of dollars because of the coronavirus pandemic, and they are accusing China for negligence, for allowing the outbreak to erupt and then covering it up. This is a class action, and there are thousands of claimants from 40 countries. This is the interesting part, what I was alluding to before, that it's not just, you know, all of a sudden now there are a lot of people who want China to pay, basically, for killing people in their countries, you know, injuring them, making them sick, killing them, and trashing the economies of the US and these other countries. It includes Britain and the US, and this is a lawsuit that was filed in Florida. Then there is a second lawsuit that was launched on behalf of healthcare workers, and they are accusing China of hoarding life-saving medical supplies. And then there's a suit coming from Israel, from Israeli human rights lawyers who specialize in suing states for terrorism. And they are ramping up the pressure for the Chinese president to account for what his country did. Now, there are also calls for the United Nations to set up an inquiry to look into how coronavirus broke out, what caused it, and so on. And, you know, but the UN has not, I mean, China holds important positions in the UN, and it is not going to be as likely that they're going to do anything, that the UN is going to be able to do anything that is going to cause trillions of dollars to flow into the US and other countries who have been harmed. But at least there are calls for them, as they should, in fact, investigate. So the US claim, the first one that I mentioned, the class action, was launched by a law firm called the Berman Law Group, and it's in Miami. And they are saying China's leaders must be held accountable for their actions. Our goal is to expose the truth. Now, this law firm, 3 years ago, won $1.2 billion in a case against China over the manufacture of defective building materials. So they already have experience in suing and winning against China. So now, even though nations have some legal immunity, there are exceptions. So now, in this lawsuit, some of the plaintiffs, I'll tell you about a couple of the plaintiffs. One of them is Olivia Babylone. He or she, Olivier. It's a little hard to tell from the name whether it's a man or a woman, but that person is 38 years old, and they are an estate agent from Croydon, South London, and their income has fallen by 2/3, and they were treated at a hospital earlier this month for the virus. Oh, it's a he, sorry. It is a he, yes. Olivier. He said, "I have been financially hurt, but many people have lost their lives, so I was lucky, and the NHS was fantastic. We need to know who is responsible." So, of course, this is This is coming from London. And then we also have Lorraine Caggiano, and she is an administrator from New York. She caught the virus along with 9 other family members after they all went to a wedding. Her father and aunt both died, and she said, "I'm not expecting money. It is a symbolic gesture that we are fighting back." I can promise you that the lawyers are not doing this as a symbolic gesture. It is going to take a lot of work, and they are doing it to get, I mean, yes, for the principal, but also they want to get their percentage, of course, from any kind of a case. And then in terms of Israel, their legal case, the Israeli Law Center is called Sherat Hadin, and they have represented victims of terrorism around the world. And they said they would also launch its legal action in the US, since most other countries would be scared of China's economic weight and retribution. Interesting. So they're comparing it to terrorism, you know, that the effect of the coronavirus was so bad that it can be compared to terrorism. In other words, where the immunity laws or immunity doesn't protect other countries in regard to terrorism. And so this is as bad as terrorism. Even if the agent wasn't cooked up as a bioterrorism agent, they would still have to pay, because it is one of the exceptions to the rule, because it's just as bad as terrorism in terms of the impact that it has had on the world. And also then there's a British human rights lawyer, Geoffrey Robertson, who has called for the United Nations to set up an inquiry. And and there are also claims, of course, that the World Health Organization has failed in its duty. Now, you know, the thing with the, I mentioned it before, but in case you haven't been listening to all my shows, which I, of course, suggest that you do, but early on, I talked about how the head of the World Health Organization, we'll call him Tedros, it turned out that he comes from Ethiopia, and it turned out that and he's not a real doctor, and it turned out that when he had he held office in Ethiopia, governmental office, and he ended up getting his country indebted to China. So Ethiopia still owes money to China. So do you think maybe that has something to do with why the World Health Organization hasn't done its job in terms of calling it a pandemic early on, and in so many other ways as well? So, you know, that's kind of the thing. When people are in bed with each other for different reasons, and then something like this happens, you know, you pick your battles, you pick what's more important to you. But certainly, there has been some, he has in a number of ways been acting so friendly to trying to protect China, and by doing so really caused so many more people around the world to get the virus, to die from the virus, and for the world's economies to fall apart in disrepair. We don't know quite yet just how far they're going to fall, but certainly they are in disrepair. And it is like, whether it turns out that China purposely cooked up coronavirus to be a bio agent of terrorism or not, it certainly has acted like terrorism, in that, you know, this has done more than any one terrorist attack from our old friends, the radical Islamists. Well, thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
If you would like to find out more about terrorism from me, your terrorist therapist, visit my website, terroristtherapist.com. And if you're a parent or teacher and want to build stronger nests for your kids to become more resilient, check out my new award-winning book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. It's the first and only book about terrorism for kids. You can find it wherever books are sold or directly from the publisher at terrorismforkids.com. Terrorism, the number 4, kids.com. I'm Dr. Carol, your terrorist therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Terrorist Therapist Show on Renegade Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Carol. We hope listening to the show has made you feel calmer, more resilient, and more able to reach your dreams despite living in a time of terror. You can also check out past shows on Renegade Talk Archives for more insights.